To Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. I'm here in the studio in Las Vegas with CK Thompson and again with Mike Thompson. And we're just going to jump straight into some stuff today. We've got a good show for you. And I just want to go ahead and pass it off to CK. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great, Brian, and thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Welcome to everyone, and I'm going to just jump into this today. We're going to let her rip, but I do want to know, I want you guys to know how much God loves you. I always have to tell you that as often as I can remember that God loves you. If no one has told you that today, let me be the first to say, God loves you with a deep, abiding, everlasting love, and He is love. And I just want you to keep that in mind as you hear these things that the Lord has been giving to us prophetically. I'm a prophet and a seer, and I didn't even realize actually what my calling was for many years. I just saw and just, you know, wrote things down. I didn't even know. We lived in a state that we didn't get much teaching about those things. All we knew was the Word, which, you know, that's fairly good.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, not a problem. So it kept us on track. But I've always had these prophetic encounters and dreams, visions, what I call dream vision, because I would start out sleeping and then wake up and it keeps going, that kind of thing. And so over the years, I have stacks and stacks of papers of where I would wake up from dreams and write it down. And I felt that I should share this with you just in light of the political climate in our country right now. This is, the date is April, is it 4?
It is right now.
April 4, 2017. And God is doing a work in the United States of America, much to the devil's chagrin. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop it. But there's a whole lot of shaking going on in this country right now. And man, God bless America, whether she wants it or not. No, it's like... She does. She doesn't know it. Half of them know it. Hey, at least half, over half, whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with Russia. I can guarantee you that. Mm. I can tell you that prophetically, that it has nothing to do with Russia. Whatever they're saying right now, because I don't know exactly when this is going to air.
Yeah.
But all the accusations about our President Trump and any connections with the Russians is pure propaganda. It is absolute made up. They just pulled it out of their butts. I'm sorry, but that's just, there's just no truth to it at all.
Yeah, there's no evidence whatsoever at this point.
And there will never be. Because, you know, when they say there's no evidence, it makes it sound like there might be somewhere. But they'll never find any, because that's the dumbest thing. The truth of the matter is, God has raised up a king that a lot of people don't like the vessel. He's raised up a prophet. He raised up an answer in America. And, maybe I should just go ahead and just share some of these things here.
Yeah, you have some dreams that you wanted to get into here?
I do, yes. And these go back quite a ways, just so you can see how the Lord has been dealing with America and just kind of the timing on some of these. People need to be patient, because they may have dreams or visions or something, and they want to just jump right out there and put it right out there, and they think that they can interpret it, you know, according to their surrounding and what's going on right now. And one of the things we need to learn as we grow in the Lord is take time, when you hear from God, take the time to just pray into it, pray in tongues, and just listen and meditate on something and let it roll over in your heart until you actually get some understanding. Yeah. Excuse me. Otherwise, unless the Lord tells you to share it, there's really no need to share it unless he tells you to. There's a whole lot of stuff that I haven't told people, and I would, I really wish I could, but I don't, because the Lord needs to have trustworthy people.
There you go.
And there's so many people that, you know, everybody wants to be a prophet, or they think they're a prophet, whatever, and, you know, I don't doubt they are prophetic or have prophetic leanings and anointings, giftings. Some of them are straight up prophets, seers, whatever. But the point of it is not to go around and show off and see, so everybody can see what wonderful things you already knew. You know, God set up prophets for a reason. And a lot of it had to do, at least in our case, because Mike and I are warriors. This ministry, Brian, you are too. We're warriors. And in the Old Testament, prophets were, the Lord used prophets to warn kings of what the enemy was up to.
Yeah.
And showed them clearly what was coming, and gave direction of how to help lead the people of God around trouble, and give them insight into how to deal with situations that were going on in the land. Prophets are necessary. And we've had a lot of, in the body of Christ, in the last several decades, as the Lord has raised up prophets, a lot of Joseph's brothers that don't like the prophets, and they want to throw them, you know, want to throw them in the pit, and sell them into slavery, and false accusations or whatever. They don't like them, and they've even built up doctrines, you know, like when Joseph told his brothers about some of the dreams he had when he was young. There is no evidence at all that he was trying to hold it over his brothers and say, like, nanny, 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 look at me. I dreamed this, and you're all going to be bowing down to me.
Oh,
I guarantee you he was not doing that. Because as some as a dreamer, I am usually, whenever I talk to someone about a dream that I had the next day, it's always like, okay, what was that about? That was totally amazing. Usually he was probably trying to process what he had just seen.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And he probably, it did not occur to him the number of, you know, sheaves that were bowing down or whatever would be the exact same number of his brothers and things like that. So people kind of like try to do a pull up, blame the victim on Joseph. Like, well, he deserved that because he did an in your face to his brothers. I don't buy that. That's not true. They're just inserting their own ignorance over it. Because that's not how it works. When you dream something, it's very real. Prophetic dreams are extremely real. Who do you talk to about it? He thought he was safe talking to his brothers. And he found out the hard way that he was not safe talking to his brothers. His brothers were not safe. And we still have that going on in America, in the church world, probably since, you know, the beginning of time, since the prophets first showed up on the planet, you know. There's going to be your brothers that don't believe you, and they will be willing to sell you into slavery given the first chance. And they'll have to answer to God for it, because the ministry of the prophet is extremely necessary. And God speaks to his people today. It's not just an Old Testament gift. It operates differently than it did somewhat in the Old Testament, whereas they don't stone prophets today if things don't happen the way they said. Partly because the timing on things is completely different now. It may not have happened yet, but it's going to. That kind of thing. You don't. You can't maybe put a time on it like they did in the Old Testament. It's different. Completely different covenant when it comes to dealing with prophets and then apostles, which they didn't have in the Old Testament. Anyway, I don't mean to get too deep into that. But anyway, just I am going out on a limb somewhat, sharing some of these things, and I just have gotten to where I don't care anymore if people believe me or not. But I know that a whole lot of people do. Some people are extremely hungry to know what God is saying to his prophets. And
a lot of people.
They are. this is what God's doing right now on the earth. And the people that are not involved, don't believe in prophets or want to go around and just choose their own prophets, the ones they want to hear because they like their message, mm-hmm. and they don't want to hear your message because it's different. Well, that's none of my business. My yeah. business is to tell you what the Lord tells me to tell you.
There you go.
So, having said all of that, mm-hmm. that was a lengthy disclaimer, I'm just going to read a little bit to you here, a series of prophetic dreams that the Lord brought to me. This one starts, the introduction, by way of introduction, the Lord said there's a change in the heavenlies, and that's, by now, is a no-brainer. He told me that in, probably 10 to 12 years ago, the change in the heavenlies.
Okay.
And as a prophet and a seer, I see things on a daily basis. It's a way of life, really. I perceive situations. I basically see, with using air quotes,
yeah,
I can see everyone around me, and I have dreams and visions on a regular basis. But I speak very few of these things publicly. In John 2:24-25, it says that Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. See, Jesus, he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God.
Yeah.
He also walked in the ministry of a prophet
mm-hmm.
when he was on the earth. He knew all men.
Yeah.
He knew their hearts. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man.
Right.
He was able to perceive. And, you know, that happens to me. When I walk into a room, I can look around the room and I can perceive what's going on. Just like you would with your physical eyes. You can look around the room, you can see what's happening. This person looks sad, this person has crutches, this person's happy, they're laughing over here, whatever. You can perceive mm-hmm. by your natural senses. I can do that, but prophet, especially prophet seers, and some of that I'm still not super clear about, because this has been happening to me for so long that I thought that I was just a lone weirdo until I started meeting other prophets. But I walk into a room and I can see what's going on in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I see who's depressed. I see ones that are being oppressed by spirits, and very often witch spirits are oppressing them. I can see who has just had fights with their spouses before they got there.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way it is. I'm certainly not trying to brag. I'm just telling you my world. I walk in and I know what's going on. I can tell you who's there and who doesn't want to be there, who doesn't believe what's going on, who was invited and wished they weren't there, and they wished that they, and I can tell who has super critical spirit and they want to just shut down if a prophet is speaking, which is usually me, if I'm speaking.
Right.
They try to shut me down by this spirit of intimidation and critical, judgmental stuff
mm-hmm.
that they, it's like trying to minister to a brick wall.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that's just gone on for years. So I rarely even talk about it. It's just the way it is. And
mm-hmm.
God bless people. God bless them. And sometimes I want to bless them with a brick.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm joking. I would never do that. But just letting you know how it operates.
Right. Exactly.
So,
but the point you're getting around to is that you don't just
yeah.
blab everything.
I do not blab. Through. No. I don't tell them what I know. I don't tell them what I see. A lot of times, you know, it's just best for me to keep my mouth shut and stay away from certain people. Because mm-hmm. I, you know, the Lord lets me know. And sometimes I even dream about them. And I hear what they're saying. I actually hear their voices. I see who they are, and I hear what they're saying about us. And sometimes I dream it while I'm asleep, and sometimes I dream it when I'm awake. So that's why we call it dream vision.
Yeah.
Okay, this is getting too long than I meant. Let me get into this. So people don't realize that I already know what they've been saying about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you have to walk in love. I have to walk in love. And it's a commitment of my life. Just if I know someone's doing that and they come walking up. There are times I might just walk up and give them a great big hug and say, God bless you. Because Jesus said, bless those who curse you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll bless them to their face, and they don't even understand what's going on. Because I know what they said, what they've been doing about, you know, what they've been saying, participating
right.
in. So there you go. Anyway, here's the thing. Ever since the 2008 presidential election, things have been different in the heavenlies over America. You know, I just want to say this on this piece of paper. It says, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, even though he said he knew what was in a man. Obviously, there's no way that I could perceive the way Jesus did. I just wanted to let people know that I did understand what that was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he knew what was in their hearts, it did not withhold. He did not withhold ministry from them, even though he knew their hearts were away against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So here's the thing. Ever since the 2008 presidential election, things have been different in the heavenlies over America. And by heavenlies, I mean the spiritual realm or the second heaven, where spiritual warfare takes place with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. You can find that in the book of Ephesians. So here's a dream I had about Hillary Clinton in 2007. I think I shared this on a different podcast a while back. This is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Before the Democrats decided on their official nominee, I had a dream about Hillary Clinton on October 8, 2007.
Okay.
I saw Hillary Clinton sitting at the desk in the Oval Office in the White House. She opened the bottom left drawer with her left hand, and she reached in and placed her hand on a Rolodex of names. Now, while I was seeing this, the Lord spoke and said, I need Hillary in the White House at this time because she has connections, especially in the Mideast, that no one else has.
Hmm.
Now, that shook me up because I was not crazy about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And for the Lord to say that he needed her in the White House, I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm at least, thank God, he did not tell me to vote for her. And I know, like, okay, Lord, you remember that you did not tell me to vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
But
you had to put aside your personal feelings in order to get a hold of this thing.
Absolutely. I had to put them aside. In fact, the Lord had even told me, and I had obeyed him, and that is I am not a Republican. So
yeah.
If anyone thinks I'm trying to preach a Republican gospel, I'm not.
Sure.
He told me to leave the Republican Party and just be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could, you know, no party spirit, no affiliation. I'm unaffiliated in order for him to be able to use me without people saying, oh, you're just a Republican. Ah, you're just a...
Right.
Because it was becoming one of the biggest hindrances to soul winning was party politics. And
right.
So anyway, okay, so I saw this and he said, I need her in the White House because she has connections, especially in the Mideast, that no one else has. And as I awoke, the Lord spoke to me from Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. I'll read it real quickly. Daniel answered and said, he was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, who had had a dream. And he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, things are not always as they appear. Don't trust the news media, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray for Hillary's relationship with the Lord. She opened her heart to Jesus when she was a child.
Uh-huh.
And then he talked to me about her childhood a little bit. And I'm not going to share that here. That's not really part of what this is about.
Okay.
But he did tell me to pray for her.
Okay.
He was concerned about her. But he went on and he said, the culmination of all things is closer than we think. Some events must take place, especially concerning Israel in the Middle East. And the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to do its job. Evangelize, win souls like every life depends on it, because it does. Because of the absolute clarity of this particular dream, I remained very interested in Hillary Clinton. Of course, we know she was appointed later on. She was appointed.
Now we know.
Now we know that she did not get the nomination, and that President Obama appointed her to be Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Because God needed her in the Oval Office for a season. Who knows what damage President Obama would have done had she not been there. God used her. He told me this. He used her to keep Armageddon from happening ahead of schedule.
Wow.
That's pretty serious.
Oh, yeah, you can see that again. Right.
Because these other guys were clueless about the Mideast. And clearly. So that's certainly something to think about. God does not, God does what he has to do. And he uses whomever he can to protect his own people. Even when it makes no sense to us from our limited point of view. And although clearly he did not want her to be president, and see, I really want to go, oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'm not going to go, hallelujah.
Right.
Okay, I just did. But only God knows. You know, like things like only God knows what happened at Benghazi. Only God knows. Mm-hmm. How much classified information was leaked and people died because of it. Only God knows those kind of things.
Yeah.
But the only thing he made me sure that I knew was that he needed her there mostly to keep Armageddon from happening ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
So then moving along, I'll go on to another one.
Okay.
Here's an odd dream on Obama's inauguration day, January 20, 2009. I was eating a bowl of cereal with several other people. Suddenly, a black goat with white speckles appeared. It came and knocked the bowl of cereal out of my hand. It knocked my substance away.
Hmm.
And I said out loud, "Look what you made me do!"
Really?
Yeah. And somebody nearby handed me their own bowl of cereal to replace it. These dreams are weird that way. And they all mean, it means something. It means you got to look into that a little further. What's that about? Then I saw a newspaper come flying towards me. That happens to me a lot. I see newspapers coming towards me with headlines.
Oh.
There was a family photo on this particular newspaper. A family photo of the Obamas at the bottom of the page. President Obama, Michelle, and their two daughters. Next to that photo was the exact same photo lying over on its left side. It was the same family, same pose, but lying sideways.
Interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I heard a loud voice. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. I'm like, okay, I'm listening. I'm listening. Got my attention.
Right.
And that's all I heard. I saw that and I heard that.
Uh-huh.
And so when I woke up, I prayed for quite a while about the inauguration that day and for the safety of the Obama family.
Okay.
But it troubled me. Why the two photos with one of them on its side? I sought the Lord about it for a long time. He finally told me what it was about. I mean, it took so long for him to... I don't know why he waited so long to talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah?
I thought I had it figured out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it means this. Maybe it means that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was maybe 2 years ago he finally told me what it was about. Like, really?
Oh, really? What'd he say?
And he said it meant two terms in office. But the second term was on its side because it was out of order. Because the favor of God had been removed from Obama. And because it wasn't God's will. It took Obama's second term in office to wake up America. And to wake up the Christians in America. And to either pray and vote and change it or lose their country.
Wow.
And people, you need to know, we were a lot closer to losing our country than we realize.
Hmm.
And I don't believe in all the conspiracy stuff. I stay away from it because it's just nonsense. It's counterfeit prophecy, you know.
Oh, yeah?
It's not from God. But the Lord said, yeah. We almost lost our country.
Wow.
And it was pretty...
That's something.
Yeah. And people were... It was amazing how much the body of Christ finally rose up. But before that, you know, you couldn't get them to agree on a thing. And it finally took a move of God in the hearts of his people to do something to save America from the enemy's plan for our country. Some of you may remember that revival had begun to break out in our country before Obama was elected.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, wasn't it awesome? Mm-hmm. It is still is. But then, especially when the recession hit, many people decided that the prophetic apostolic move of God was just a passing fad. They did not recognize it as the next season for the body of Christ on planet Earth, let alone a time of major reformation. It was reformation in the body of Christ. That's what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw that over the course of Obama's first term, people did not expect open heaven like they did before. They stopped pressing in for it. They stopped expecting it. And President Obama brought a spirit of poverty upon America. Poverty and entitlement. He brought irresponsibility. These are spirits I'm talking about.
Right.
Not just attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the indoctrinating of another of the next generation to accept godlessness, lawlessness.
I see.
In our country. There was a major change in the spiritual atmosphere, and during that time, God's people began fleeing back to religion and churchism for safety. I mean, in droves. They tried to find their comfort zone so bad they were looking for it, and some of them just dropped out of church entirely. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we've seen recessions before. And but people didn't leave God, leave church. They didn't just run for cover.
Right.
There was more going on here.
Hmm.
And financial fear absolutely gripped the nation, including many of God's people, especially those who trusted in uncertain riches instead of their covenant God. They assumed that their own financial situation is going to go the same way as the world's.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them stopped giving to the Lord, and it really did show where their heart was. They stopped acting like God's people. They stopped being doers of the word. They stopped believing the word. And they started believing that we were all going to hell in a handbasket and you better hang on to what you had. That's the manifestation of the spirit of poverty. People are afraid to give. Huge manifestation of poverty right there. It's a spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money you have at all.
Just trying to hang on to what you have because you're afraid you won't be able to get any more.
Exactly. It's a spirit of fear. Yeah. And that if you give anything, then you won't have anything.
Right.
And that God won't supply your need. And it's just, it's fairly wicked. It's very wicked, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know or believe that it was God's will for their divine prosperity, or that his abundant supernatural finances didn't change just because of a just because of a recession. God didn't change just because things were changing on the earth. God remains the same. But people were so terrified of what was going on that they just shut down their faith in those areas. So Christians who didn't have that revelation and those who had no vision began to perish financially. Those 4 years almost shut down revival in America. I'm talking about the first 4 years of Obama's term in office. Okay. This is hard for me to talk about because I don't want to use names, you know?
Yeah.
But what do you do? You have to. I mean, right. And as a prophet, you know, I'm kind of like on the spot to, you know what, I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Tell people the truth.
Yeah. And so you're talking about 2008 to 2012.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Just to be clear.
That was like the worst. It almost shut down revival entirely in America. And it shut down, like, gosh, thousands of churches. People just left churches. I mean, pastors were like, what just happened? Everyone left. They just left church. Boom. They left God. They left church. They just went. They disappeared. It was... Mm-hmm. It's unprecedented. I don't remember. I don't know everything, but I clearly don't know all about history. But I don't remember hearing about a time where everybody just decided that things were too scary to ever go to church again.
Yeah, good point.
Whole groups, whole denominations, nearly just were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, it almost shut down revival in America. God needed his people to continue forward, and there were a few who continued to proclaim open heaven over America, which is what God had to have. He had to have people who would proclaim what he says, no matter what it looks like. And that's the way it still is. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it is now. He's got to have people who will decree into the atmosphere the words of God. They must decree. That's our responsibility,
yes.
Especially prophets and prophetic people. We must say what God is saying. He has to find, he's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman, he's looking for someone who will speak his words into the atmosphere so he can do it. Because he operates by his word.
Mm-hmm.
From the Garden of Eden, when he said, let there be light. Everything God does, he speaks. He doesn't do anything without telling his servants, the prophets, first. I mean, that's the way he is. He's a talking God.
Yeah.
He creates with words. Everything he does is by the power of the word. His words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue? God's tongue. I mean, but he doesn't kill anybody. Well, I don't know. I got to think that through. Because he will do what he has to do to protect his people and the righteous line, especially through the Old Testament. All the wars and everything going on was God protecting the righteous line so that he could get Jesus into the earth. People don't realize that. He was preserving the scarlet thread. He was preserving his promise to Eve, you know, that Jesus is coming, and he had to protect that line, the genealogy and all that, to get Jesus into the earth so that he could bring redemption. And that's why there was so much fighting in the Old Testament, and that's why it's not necessary to fight like that in the New Testament, although try, you know, telling that to some Christians. He'll still duke it out with you. All right, I'm joking.
Yeah.
But seems like it, though, doesn't it? So, where am I here?
Pray for those in authority.
Yeah, pray for those in authority. So, he needed people to proclaim open heaven over America. And people, there were some of us who continued. There were a lot more of us, probably, than we realize. That we're still proclaiming open heaven. And then the next part is, pray for those in authority. Now, credible prophets and prophetic people cannot be swayed by our personal feelings. No matter how we feel about a person or a situation, we have to do what the Word says. Period. God needs to be able to trust us that we're not going to throw in our own version and our own opinion and change the message. He needs people that will say what he says, even if it's hard to say.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So pray for those in authority. People really need to realize that how much God deals with the hearts of those who are in power. And I got to see a lot of that during this time. How he dealt with Hillary. I got to see how he was dealt with Obama, which I will share with you briefly in a minute. He cares about them as humans, first of all. And then their position over a nation that he has given promises and destiny to. He has to deal with their hearts because he has promises to keep to that country, to the people that live there, and to the forefathers and the people that he gave, that he made covenant with when he established those countries. And America was established on covenants. And a lot of people don't realize it. They say, well, we were established as a Christian nation. That's true. And the reason is because of covenants that God made with founding fathers and people that were praying back then, and probably people we don't even know their names right now. We'll meet them when we get to heaven. There's a lot of women that were praying back then. There was a lot of people that never made it into the history books that were praying, and God made covenant with those people mm-hmm. about our country and the destiny of America. So presidents, God deals with those, with the hearts of those in power, presidents and senators and representatives, governors, kings and queens, those in authority over the kingdoms of this world, over the kingdoms of this world. Now hear those words, because it's in the Bible. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Bible. God was talking to me about those in authority over the kingdoms of this world, because we really are coming up on the culmination of all things. And even though Earth years, it may seem like it's taking a long time. And that's like, praise God, because that gives us more time to get people into the kingdom. Let's, you know, the Reinhard Bonnke says, you know, let's plunder hell and populate heaven.
Right. Yep. Well
said. So, you know, when people say, oh, I just want Jesus to come back so I can go home. That's really selfish. I mean, seriously.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Because, you know, that means you
just
want...
care about
you
yourself.
Right.
And not getting as many people into heaven as possible.
Exactly. You want all those people to go to hell?
Right.
We got a job to do here. God loves those people. We should too,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about us and our comfort.
Yeah.
So those in authority over the kingdoms of this world, the Lord deals with their hearts. That's why we are told to pray for those in authority. He's dealing with their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And people, God loves those men and women. He longs to use them for his purposes. He's not sitting back and criticizing them the way that maybe we are. He's not picking them apart and, you know, griping about their policies.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to superimpose the kingdom of heaven over the kingdoms of men. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know if this is necessary, but I even sang a prophetic psalm. That's kind of silly because I sing lots of prophetic psalms.
Yeah.
But in August of 2022, in 2010, I heard myself singing. I heard the Lord singing. I was singing. But the Lord was crying out to President Obama to make the right choice. And it really shook me up when I heard myself singing that. At the time, it surprised me so much, especially the amount of emotion behind it, that the Lord was really crying out to Obama to make a good choice, to make the right choices. And during that time, I kept hearing God's heart. You know, even for days, nights after that, I kept hearing him saying, Obama, Obama, choose rightly. And I was praying for him. People need to realize that God's mercy endures forever. even towards people that we don't agree with. He deals with leaders personally as much as he can. And then coming up on 2012, all of a sudden it was like everything was hidden for a time while God dealt with Obama and other leaders. And that was really disconcerting to me. I sensed that the outcome of the 2012 election was hidden from me, and God was dealing with hearts, and he was waiting for Obama to make certain choices, and other people too.
Okay, and unfortunately, we're just going to have to leave it there for this week. We're out of time. We're definitely going to pick it up with Obama next week, and so I just want to thank you guys for listening, and you do not want to miss that. It's going to be a good podcast, so thanks, everyone. We'll see you then.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.